My name's Tony and I'm an addict. Good to be in the meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. I'd like to thank the officers of the meeting for asking me to come here. I was really used to getting chased out of yards, chased out of my parents' house, chased out of my brothers and sisters' houses, and now people are asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope, and through the grace of God, through the grace of a loving God. Before I get started, one thing I learned about this program of Narcotics Anonymous is that it's a we program, and we can't do nothing alone, because for many years, I tried to get clean. Well, actually, I didn't. I didn't even know I had a drug problem, you know. But when I finally tried to get clean, I couldn't. So I found out that I needed other people's help. And when I first started speaking, I used to go hide in a little corner. And I would, you know, please God, you know, the speaker prayer, please God, let me be a hit. And it's like, I don't do that no more. What I do is I ask for a moment of silence, and you pray that I carry a message of hope, hopefully Narcotics Anonymous, and I will sit up here and I will pray that you have an open mind, maybe something that will help you in your recovery. So please, can we have a moment of silence? Good, thank you very much. Anybody pray for me to be honest? My kid is April 18, 1989. I always say that in my head because it's 15 law. Every time I speak, I think my duty. There's two things I heard about clean. If you have a community in this room tonight and you got one day clean, then you're a miracle. But there's other people who think, you know, people with clean time are full of shit. And what I heard about that is if you think clean time don't mean anything or don't mean nothing, get some. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that seems to make people happy. The fact of being needed is in this room tonight, the New York program of Narcotics Anonymous up in Calgary, you can stay clean. You know, so far, the only time today, when I'm fighting, I've been here in a month. She tell you, if oh, that was that. I could tell you, if you work a program of recovery, you can stay clean that long. I can't say the rest of your life because I don't know. I can't say 20 years because I don't know. I talk about people with a lot of time who don't come to meetings. If they got more time than me, I don't talk about them because I know I've never been there. Now, that's kind of thing, then I'll talk about it. You know what I'm saying? What I want to talk about tonight is four things that keep me clean. You know, I don't think my past is real important. It will come out eventually as I share. But see, today, through working an inventory, what I did in my past ain't get me loaded. See, I could sit up there and tell you, talk for an hour about my past and justify and rationalize why I got loaded. Bottom line is, I enjoyed getting loaded. You know, bottom line is, for 15 out of 18 years, I didn't know I had a drug problem. I thought I got caught more than everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, I'm going to just do a couple of minutes on that, and then what I want to talk about tonight is sponsorship and the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. At 15, I started drinking. By 16, I was smoking pot. By 17, I was dropping acid. I tried some cocaine about 17 and a half. By 18 and a half, I got in this deal out of a relationship, and I blacked out, drank for 5 years. Along with the other stuff, picked up three drunk driving. I think at the age of 22, I got into PCP, smoked PCP for probably 2 years straight, ended up tied down in a mental institution. At the age of 25, I stuck a needle in my arm with some heroin and did that for the next 8 years. So the last two of them made, I started shooting cocaine. Cocaine kicked my ass. In the 18 years, I've been in I got arrested 18 times. I got 6 under the influence of heroin, 3 petty theft, 3 drunk driving, 2 under the influence of, you know, that bunch of shit, you know. I've been in and out of recovery houses. I've been in methadone, 30-day detoxes, a living program probably 4 times. You know, I was tied down in a mental institution behind PCP, screaming, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. You know, I was hyperventilating, and maybe I'll get into that story. And I found Narcotics Anonymous in 1989, and I was 33 years old. People said, why are you so serious? I said, because I can't remember the 80s. I can't remember the 80s. You know, what did you do in 81? I don't know. Let me see my police record. Oh, yeah. I remember now. You know, I didn't do a lot at times, but I sure as hell win a lot. You know what I'm saying? Every year, you know, to this day, I'm not married. I have my girlfriend with me today. But today, to this day, you know, I turned 40 in September, and I never got married because I was married to heroin or PCP or whatever it was. And I went to jail every year. And maybe later I'll tell you the kind of relationships, the kind of women that I was in relationship with. I'm glad I didn't get married. You know what I'm saying? In 1989, I was working in South Central L.A., shooting heroin, I was shooting coke. It got so bad for me, I was going in the projects in South Central, burning black guys with them $20 bills that you make out of dollars. Anybody see them? If you haven't, get with me after the meeting and we'll make one. And that's how desperate I was. That's where I was at. I picked up two more cases under the influence, and I was looking at a year in the penitentiary. Never been to state prison. All my arrests were misdemeanors. So I picked up two more, and the guy at work said, "Tony, they might let you get into a recovery house." And I said, "Cool." You know, and before I got a chance to talk to this counselor, I had to go to court. And I went to court, and the judge said, "Come back in 3 weeks." And I turned and looked around and said, "What's up with that?" Because every time I went to court before that, my mother would be the one who took me to court. And when the judge said, "Come back," my mother would raise her hand. And the judge would say, "Yes, ma'am, can I help you?" And she'd say, "That's my son. He don't have nowhere to live. He's stealing from me. Will you take him to jail?" And I went to jail every time I went to court. So when they say, "Come back in 3 weeks," I turn around and look for my mom. I say, "Cool, I'm leaving." You know, and through the grace of God, I ended up getting into this recovery house. I was in a 14-day detox, methadone detox. I'd already been there twice. The first time I stayed 2 days. The second time they wanted to take a blood test, and I said I didn't need no more marks, and I left. Yeah, right. And so here's my third time. And you know, this time I was disability, you know, work was paying for it, and there's girls there, you know, and I had a choice of there or jail. You know, so I had a little bit of reason to stay. See, I'm not an addict who wanted this program. I came here because I had a choice. It was jail or being in the recovery house, and I chose the recovery house. And then after a few days there, I was talking shit how I was going to stay clean for the rest of my life. How I knew the steps because they had them on the wall, and I already read them. You know what I'm saying? And talking long stuff, you know? And one day I'm sitting in bed, and they had this old guy from San Pedro a couple bunks over, and he was a heroin dealer. Well, the reason he was in detox was because he was shooting cocaine, and his wife said he didn't eat. Oh, man, he didn't eat. So he went into detox to get off the cocaine, but when he get out, he was going to continue to do heroin. So after walking around the detox, telling everybody how I was going to stay clean for the rest of my life, I went and laid down on my bunk, and he snapped. He could shoot heroin. He's got to have a problem, you know? So I'm getting up off my bed. I'm in a detox for heroin on methadone, and I'm walking over to this guy's bed to ask him to kick me down with some heroin. And about halfway to his bed, I said, "You know what? You're sick. You got a problem." You know, and I started begging the counselor to let me stay longer. And I started calling recovery houses, and they said, you know, after about 3 days of calling 10 places a day, they said, "Tony, we got a spot for you in the family." And I said, "Thank God." You know, and they took me back in the family. And see, I have 18 arrests, and I've been in and out of the county jail. And it's like, when the deputy tells me, "Go mop the floor," I don't tell him where to go. I go mop the floor because I want to get my ass wet. And besides, he might give me some phone time later. So when the counselor in the recovery house said, "Tony, you need to get 2 phone numbers at the meeting and ask somebody for a sponsor," I said, "Sure." You know, phone time, you know, in my head, you know. So what happened is every Thursday night they had this meeting where there was about 100 people, right? So if you're in a recovery house or jail on visiting day, you get your best clothes on. Well, the recovery houses too, you know, when there's a meeting, you get all your good shit on to look good and everything, you know. And I walk out of the door, I'm all looking good, and I look over there and there's 100 people, and I'm petrified. I can't even walk over there because in 18 years of using, I didn't learn how to communicate. I didn't learn how to reach out and say, "Hi, my name's Tony, you know. I'm a nice guy now, I'm clean, you know what I'm saying?" If I wanted to get money off you, I could. But being clean, I didn't know what the hell to do. And I used to sit in the corner and watch all the chicks over there at the meeting. You know, and I wouldn't even get up and walk over there and say hi to anybody. Well, I'm sitting there one day, and this big Mexican guy that I seen in detox, he did an HMI panel. And he said, he was talking shit like he was a union organizer, he'd been down for murder, he was a big-time heroin dealer. And I thought, damn, I can relate to this guy. Yeah, right. I weighed 152 pounds. I was a sniveling crybaby, manipulating high. You know, and I can relate to this big-time guy, you know? That's my head. You know, that's my thinking. Well, I'm sitting at this meeting, sitting in the corner because I can't go talk to these people. And this big Chicano guy comes and he walks and sits in front of me. I said, how are you doing? He says, fine. He says, how are you doing? I said, great. I said, I need a sponsor. And he says, how much time you got? I go, shit, I got at least 8 days. You know, I got this program down, you know. I read the steps in detox, you know. And he looked at me dead in the eye and he said, well, I'm kind of busy right now. I don't think I can help you. And he walked away. And I just thought, okay, cool. And I went inside and I told the counselor, hey, I gave my two numbers. I asked somebody, yes, cool, you know. During the week, we started going to other meetings and they talked about people in Narcotics Anonymous will love you until you can love yourself. People in Narcotics Anonymous will pick you up at the recovery house and give you a ride to the meeting. People in Narcotics Anonymous will teach you how to live all over again through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm listening to all this shit, you know? And then all of a sudden, it's next Thursday again, and I'm hiring all my kids again, you know? And then I walk out, and I look at the meeting, and I say, I ain't going over there, and I sit down. And I'm sitting in that little corner again, and here comes this big old Mexican guy again, and he sits in front of me. I said, how you doing? He says, good. He says, how you doing? I said, good. I go, I need a sponsor. He says, how much time you got? I said, I got 16 days. Remember last week at 7, you know? And he looked at me, and he said, I'm busy right now. I don't think I can do it. And he got up and he walked away. And I thought, chippy shit, punk, you know? You guys lied to me all week, and I fell for it. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, I went to tell my, here's the numbers, and yeah, I asked that asshole. You know what I'm saying? 1 week later, ironing my shit again, you know? Meeting, start walking over there. I said, talk to them. I sit down. Guess who comes to the meeting? He's sitting there, now I'm already mad. You know what? I need a sponsor, man, you know? He said, how much time you gotta add it up, you know? He said, I'll pick you up next Wednesday. You know, that was the trip. I went back in the recovery office. Yeah, I got a sponsor now. I said, what do I ask them, you know? Didn't know nothing about this fellowship. That man came next Wednesday. He picked me up. I ironed my shit again. We were going to outside meeting this time. He picked me up. He took me out to dinner. He paid for the dinner. He took me to his home. I got to do things like watch TV. Everybody who came in and out of his house was recovering addicts. I got to bullshit with them. And then he took me to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, he took me back to the recovery. On the way home from the recovery house, he would always stop and put gas in his car. And he'd look at me and he'd say, Tony, do you need any cigarettes? Well, I was on disability. I had about $40 in my pocket, and I had a pack of cigarettes in my sock so the people in the recovery house wouldn't ask me for them. You know, I learned that from jail. And I looked at Art and I said, yes, Art, I need cigarettes. And he'd buy me a pack of cigarettes. He'd leave me off, and he said, I'll pick you up next Wednesday. And I said, okay, thank you, Art. You know, when Art picked me up next Wednesday, he took me out to dinner, nice restaurant, paid for it, took me to his house, took me to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. And then on the way home, we did the gas station trip again. I knew, you know, hide my shit. You know. You need cigarettes. Sure, Art, you know. Got to be a habit, you know. You know, for me, the last time I was in jail, because I have clean time now, it was about 9 years ago. I did 4.5 months in the Old County Jail behind, under the influence in the petty theft. And every time I went to jail, in my heart, I wanted to be a good person. You know, and I would go to jail, and I first thing I'd do was go to church, sign up for class, you know, I trust you, start working, you know what I'm saying? And try to treat everybody different, because I couldn't get no drugs. You know, I did. There's one time I did 90 days. 90 days in the county jail. We dropped acid twice. One night we got 6 joints of PCP. We had a pint of whiskey, and we smoked weed anytime we wanted. You know what I'm saying? So there is drugs there. And like, this is the last time in jail, 4.5 months, and I'm sitting there, and I was at church. I would tell my homeboys, go to church with me, and they'd go with me, and I'd be singing and shit, and they'd get all scared, they wouldn't come back, you know. Homeboys flipped out, you know, because that's the way it was for me, you know. And I remember one day I was in church, and the guy said, we have 6 brothers coming in tonight, and they're going to share how God's working in their life. And these guys got up and they started talking about, yeah, I have God in my life, and I'm doing this, and I feel like this, and everything's peaches and cream. Then another guy got up in church, and by the time the third guy got up, I felt a tear coming down my eyes. And I'm saying, why did God make me live the way I'm living? Why is he helping them guys, and I have to go through all the bullshit that I have to go through? You know, what's going on here, you know? And then I reflect back to Art taking me to meetings. About the 4th meeting that we went to, somebody got up and took a tip, and they look in the back. My sponsor's name is Art Rivas, but I won't give him up. They'd look in the back and they'd say, I want to thank Art Rivas for being my sponsor. And he's sitting next to me, and I'm saying, what the hell did he do? You know, somebody would take a 2-year take and they'd say, I'd like to thank Art Rivas because when I got here, he reached out and he helped me. You know, and then the next meeting we went to, there was 3 people who got up and thanked Art Rivas. And I thought, that's what I want to do all my life. I wanted to be a good person. I feel I always had a good heart. I've always been a nice, kind person, but drugs didn't allow me to be the person that I wanted to. You know, I ripped off my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters. I mean, I had a little sister that I hopped her old man's wedding ring, watch, everything else, and when I was going to jail, I handed her 6 pawn tickets and took on them. You know what I'm saying? And I seen Art being the person that I always wanted to be. And I said, Art, I want to be like you. He said, work the steps. You know, and that's what I want to share about. I want to share a little bit about sponsorship, and I want to share about the steps tonight. You know, sponsorship is a big responsibility. You know, supposedly if someone asks you to sponsor them, you had to have already worked the steps. You know, I didn't. I sponsored a guy after my 9th step, but Art said, go ahead. I asked Art. You know, you want somebody with a little bit of clean time. And it was real weird because, you know, you guys tend to look up to sponsors. You know, and sponsors have to learn just like everybody else. Just like you have to learn to stay clean, you have to learn to sponsor people. You know, don't put me on a pedestal, please, because I fall down, I go boom, and I learn from going boom. And if I don't go boom, I don't learn. You know, pain's the motivator in this program. We learn by making mistakes over and over and over again, and that's how we learn. So I got to make my mistakes, too. The first guy I sponsored him for 9 months, and we didn't work no steps, and we were good buddies. And I took him to meetings, took him to hamburgers, took him to dances and everything else. That's the way I learned to sponsor. You know, and then he moved. And I thought, fucker owes me about $200, you know? And then I would start sponsoring somebody else. And they would do the same shit. I said, 50, that's 250 I lost so far. You know, because these guys weren't staying clean. And there'd be times when I'd call my sponsor and he'd say, hey, you know what? You better quit sponsoring people because you get too weird, man. You know? And I said, but that's what we're supposed to do in this program is help each other. And so bad, I wanted to help other addicts. You know, so what I had to do is learn the steps. It was crazy. You would come over, I'm your sponsor, I don't know shit, I got a couple years clean, you know, spiritual pony, 3 years clean, I got it down, you know. You come and talk to me and I run it down. I'd tell you about marriage and I've never been married, you know what I'm saying? But I knew, you know, I knew, and I had to learn to say, you come over and tell me how you had a fight with your old lady because this and this and this, and by the time you left, I was mad at her too and I wanted to kick her ass too. And then I... I told Art, I said, how do you do that? Art, I call you up and you said, don't you get all messed up because I'm going through all this shit. He said, Tony, when I'm done talking to you, I hang up the phone and I hang up your problem. And that kind of hurt my feelings. You know what I'm saying? But being a sponsor, I have to learn to separate my life. Because you know what? A lot of you guys, you know, get sponsors and just, you know, I will take you all over. That's my responsibility. You know, I'll take you to meetings, I'll work with you. But what it's done is it's made me very hard. You know, you work the shift. I don't fire anybody. You know, I make a lot of threats, you know, and I make, you know, sound real tough and everything else, but I haven't. I fired one guy who took about 2 years to work any steps, and I said, you know, when you hear sponsor in the room to get a sponsor, you probably feel comfortable because you say, you got one, you got me. Well, you know what? You don't have me. You haven't called me for 2 years, and just to make you get up off your ass, I ain't your sponsor no more. So they're like, oh, please, you know, please. And so he came over one time the next week, and then that was the end of it. So today, if you ask Tony to sponsor you, I say, talk to me after the meeting. See, because I don't talk to my sponsees at meetings with Narcotics Anonymous. They know my phone number. You know why I do that? Because my sponsor did it to me. You know, he said, this is my time for recovery. This is my time to have fun. Don't be coming and dumping me at a meeting. If it was that bad, you could have called me before you got there. You know, and I do the same things with my sponsees. And what I tell them is I never say yes. I say I will help you for 30 days. And in them 30 days, I want you to go to 7 meetings a week. You know, I went to 7 meetings this week, people. That's the way I work my program. I went to 7 meetings for the last 9 days, 10 days. I've been to a meeting every day. I go to at least 5 meetings a week. You know, and there's a lot of, you know, people say, oh, he probably ain't got a life. Yeah, right. I'll let you know what I got today later on, you know, because that is what this is about. So I tell him for 30 days, you go to a meeting every day. And every day, the one you hear share the best, you get their phone number. And for them 30 days, you come down my house once a week, and the first time you come over, I'm going to mark my journal, because I keep a journal, have been for the last 7 years. I can tell you where I was 5 and a half years ago on a certain day, and what bills I paid that month. You know, I learned that in Narcotics Anonymous. And I say, when you come over the first time, I will mark your 30 days. Then you come over every week and we work the first 3 steps. At the end of them 30 days, with all the numbers you've got, if you want to fire me, or not even fire me because I'm not your sponsor, if you want somebody else to sponsor you, fine. My feelings will not be hurt. Matter of fact, it'll give me a whole lot of free time if I don't sponsor you. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of them 30 days, if you don't call me 3 times a week, if I don't see you at a meeting every week and you don't finish the first 3 steps, I get to decide if I want to sponsor you. You know, most of the time it ain't even the first phone call, it's all over that night. You know what I'm saying? And I don't sponsor guys 2 and 3 times. You know, that's insanity, doing things over and over again, expecting different results. So I don't sponsor you 2 or 3 times. You're lucky if I sponsor you twice. Because you guys owe me a lot of money, you know? Let's get at it up. And it's like, at the end of the 30 days, you know, we see if I'm going to sponsor you. If not, if I sponsor you, the way I sponsor you is you come over and we read the steps sentence by sentence. And I ask you, what do you think it means? And then I give you a little assignment. The first step says that I'm powerless over my addictions and my life had become unmanageable. You know, and I've sponsored plenty of guys who had jobs, who had nice cars, and they say, well, my life ain't unmanageable, and I say, well, get the hell out of here, you don't belong in the meeting. You know, well, my work is making me come. Well, apparently there's something wrong. So this is what I want you to write. I want you to write a couple examples of how your life is unmanageable. Physically, mentally, financially, relationship-wise, and there's another one I can't think of it right now. Okay, physically for me, my life was unmanageable. Physically, because I weighed 152 pounds when I got here,
At one point when I was boosting in San Fernando, I'd wake up in the morning, I didn't have a car, I had to walk to go boosting, and I would always stop at this liquor store and steal a little package of them red dingers with the little snowflakes on them. And that was my breakfast. That's the way Tony took care of himself physically. Never went to the dentist, never went to the doctor, you know, didn't take showers all the time. So physically, I say, yeah, my life was unmanageable. And then I go to mentally. Okay, well, mentally, this is Tony at work. I got $15, I'll buy a spoon for 12, and I got $3 to get home, rest, and come to work tomorrow. So I go buy the spoon, shoot it up, and my head says, you got $3, you only need 9 more to buy another spoon. It doesn't say, put the gas and go home and rest for work. You know, so mentally, I was unmanageable. Spiritually, yeah, I had a God. Please, God, let this dope be good. Please, God, don't let him give me a lot of time. You know, and then we come in here and we say, oh, it's hard for me to get a God. You know, it's hard for me to make a commitment. I committed to drugs for 18 years. You know what I'm saying? And that's a commitment. That's a 15-hour-a-day job. I mean, and many of us know it's a lot of work. How was my life unmanageable relationship-wise? Whoa, I remember one day my father said, son, I love you very much, but you're going to have to leave because you're killing your mother, and I'm not going to let you do that, and he threw my ass out in the street. You know what I'm saying? Relationship-wise with women, I remember I was dating this girl once, and the way we used to do it is I would take her to the bar, and I would lay down in the truck, because in my neighborhood, when you're copping, you had to lay down, because if the cops were by, they're going to stop anybody by that path. So we would go to the bar, I'd lay down in the truck for 2 hours, she would go into the bar, come out with 3 or 4 wallets and all kinds of money, and I'd reach over and I'd say, yeah, baby, I know you didn't give no head. Let's go. You know? And that's the kind of relationships I had. So relationships, you know, my life was very unmanageable. You know, and financially, every check, the first 200 went back to everybody at work. My sister paid my rent through a direct deposit through ATM, or I wouldn't have had an apartment. And then within 3 days, I spent the rest of my check. And this was every 2 weeks I got paid. And for about a week and a half, I had to borrow money, steal shit, hawk shit, and do whatever I could. And I had a $9 an hour job. So financially, I didn't do very well either. You know what I'm saying? So what we find out is, okay, maybe my life was unmanageable. You know what I'm saying? How am I powerless over people, places, and things? See, my sponsor said, if I was powerless, if I could understand that I am powerless over people, places, and things, I would never have to use again. You know, it's like, how am I powerless? You know, I'm powerless over my addiction. How many people could get a half ounce or whatever and have half of that saved in the morning when they were done that night? See, the obsession to use, that's the powerlessness of my addiction. I'm powerless over people. And the best example I have for that, how many people in here had mothers trying to change them, uncles trying to change them, brothers and sisters trying to change them? I had Norwalk Police Department trying to change me, you know. And did we change? No. So how could we say we have power? If we had power over anybody, my mom would have got me clean a long time ago, you know? Powerless over things. Car accidents, earthquakes. It's like, you know, I like sharing the one about the guy who comes to the meeting and he got loaded because he had an argument with his wife and she took off all pissed off and she wrecked the car. And he's at this meeting and he got loaded because she wrecked the car. And I'm trying to tell him, bro, if you could do shit like that, come to my area because there's a couple of people I need to get in car accidents. You know what I'm saying? We have no power over that. You know, we don't have no power over people, places, and things. They tell you, don't hang around with your old friends. And, you know, my experience is 6 months clean, I got to go show the homeboys. You know, I got to get them in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and they say, let's go halves. And I say, I don't use no more. Well, here's the beer, homie. Don't tell me you quit that, too. You know, and then I try to stand there a little bit and act stupid like if I can handle it and shit, you know. I'm powerless over people, places, and things. Second step says we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. The first thing I get is, I'm not crazy. I said, let's read over how all the examples how your life was unmanageable. Well, maybe I am a little crazy, you know? And it's like what I make my guys do is give me 10 reasons how God is working in my life today. You know, and they usually got about 60 days clean. I said, have you ever got 60 days clean? And they said, no. Do you think you're doing it or God's doing it? Well, maybe God's doing it. I said, well, write that down. You know, I said, where are you right now? Well, we're in your house at your kitchen table working steps. Do you think you're doing that? No, maybe God's doing it. Didn't you get a job last week? Yeah, when's the last time you worked? 2.5 years ago? You think God had anything to do with that? So I get 10 reasons how God is working in their lives just so that they understand that there is a God and by some possibility he might restore them to sanity. Then we go to step 3. Came to believe, am I right? Got him right. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood them. Real simple step. Three frogs on a log. Two of them decide to jump. How many frogs on the log? 3. They decided to jump. They didn't jump. Oh! Wow! You know, and to me, that step says, okay, let me try this. Let me try this program. Let me try to trust the God. And that's it. You know, it ain't about, you know, doing all kinds of weird shit, lighting incense and walking outside and saying hi to everybody and my life changed. It ain't even about that. It takes years to change. Two ways this program works, my sponsor said, change. He said, you have to change the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you look, the way you think, the way you treat people. You have to change every aspect of your life. And I said, how come? I'm a good guy. And he said, read your first step, how your life was unmanageable. Maybe I wasn't a good guy. Another way this program works is very slowly. You know, I got to share the one about the guy. You know, I thought I wasn't a newcomer anymore when I took a year take. I took my year take. I said, yeah, I'm not a newcomer anymore. And this guy walked up to me and he said, Tony, he said, you're a newcomer until you take 5 years. And I got pissed, you know. Taking a 5-year take, the guy comes up to me again. He said, did you hear the pop? I said, what pop? He said, your head coming out of your ass. Okay, I believe that step 3, it says we turn our will. See, I'm not so serious anymore like I used to. You guys are lucky. We turn our will and our lives over to a power greater than ourselves, okay? To me, that's 2 parts. If I turn over my will, that means that I come to meetings and I talk to my sponsor and I work my steps and I try to change. If I turn over my life, that means I get in service. You know what I'm saying? If I turn over my life, that means I get in service. A lot of my spare time goes to service. Tony has been in service since 4.5 months. They let me out of the recovery house. I picked up a secretary of commitment, and there has not been a day that I have not been in service. That's why I'm clean. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm wearing a silk shirt. You know what I'm saying? Okay, we get to our inventory. It says we made a searching and thorough moral inventory of ourselves. You know, the way I did mine and you do yours, the way your sponsor tells you to do it, if I'm sponsoring you, and by the way, all this is my opinion, everybody works a step different, but if you're my sponsor, this is how you're going to do it. I do mine like an autobiography. I start from a little boy. I remember when things happened to me. I remember when I was treated bad. I remember when I had bad feelings. And I go through first grade, second grade, third grade, and then I go to junior high, and then I go to high school, and then I go from jail to jail to jail, you know what I'm saying? And then it all comes out. I told my sponsor, you know, everybody's using this little worksheet that you just answers a lot of questions. And he said, so? I said, well, it seems easier, you know? And he said, Tony, if you do that, you end up writing about a lot of stuff that isn't even bothering you. And,
excuse me, can I help you?
Thank you, Derek.
He says, Tony, if you use that list and you write about a lot of stuff that isn't even bothering you. If I do it like an autobiography, I know what's bothering me. I know what comes out. And he said, you know, the book says in that step, get a notebook and a pencil. And when I tell my sponsee, you know, work on your inventory this week, and I see him at a meeting next week, and I know damn well they ain't doing it, I look at him and say, did you get a notebook and a pencil yet? Because he says that right in the first thing you do is go out and get a notebook and a pencil. If you're talking about you're going to do it and you ain't got a notebook and a pencil, I'd say you're full of shit. Because that's what I tell my sponsees. You know what I'm saying? And my sponsor said, Tony, he said, I want you to write if you've been molested. I want you to write if you've had sex with your sisters, your mom and dad. I want you to write if you kill anybody. Anything that ever bothered you, it's your opportunity to get it over with and be forgiven for the things you've done. He said, when you write, he says, you sit down and you pray before you write and ask God to give you the willingness to be honest. And he said, and I don't want you reading it over. Because what happens is, I'll write down, I got in a fight and I got my ass whipped, and if I read it over, I got in a fight and it was a tie. You know, I changed that shit, you know? I don't want to live back. We were entirely ready to have God We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact natures of our wrongs. You know, I still got a few minutes. In that inventory, you know, there was one thing I really didn't want to tell my sponsor. And he had told me in the beginning, he said, because in step four, it says you write it like there is not no step five. You know, and he said, if you don't want to read it to me, you don't have to. You can read it to a pastor. You can go to peer and read it to somebody. You can read it to another member of Narcotics Anonymous. But you know what? He told me he loved me, and I love him. And he's only had to try to have sex with me twice. And I learned to trust the man. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you got it? I was in Europe this year for the World Convention of Narcotics Anonymous. I got to go to Paris, France. And I was sharing at a marathon, and I shared that shit. And about an hour later, some guy stopped me in the hall, and he said I dressed real nice, but he wanted to know about having sex with my sponsor. But in America, it's a joke. You know, I sat there and I read my inventory. I read my inventory. It was 33 pages long. And Art just sat there. He didn't stop me. And every once in a while, I think he'd wake up. And you know, he let it go at that. You know, he didn't say nothing, but I got to get rid of shit like, and I could talk about this, and I don't talk about this. I talk about it for the newcomer, so you can feel free to share anything. When I was 17 years old, we used to drive to Hollywood all the time and pick up hookers. We'd get drunk, go pick up hookers in Hollywood. 18 years old, I was doing the same thing. 19, 20, it was just a thing that we did. Well, I was about 23 years old. I go down to Hollywood. I'm drunk on my ass. Pick up this pretty good-looking chick, take her to the room. She takes off her clothes. Her balls fall out. That's not the funny part. The funny part is we had sex anyway. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I could share about that because I don't practice that behavior anymore. And what happens is when I share about it and I'm getting in my car, there's usually about six guys out there saying, hey, bro, can I talk to you? You know? I quit, man, I quit. But see, that's the freedom for me. When I was five years old, I had probably a three-year-old at my house, and she was looking through the viewfinder, and I had her in the bathroom naked, and I was playing doctor. For a long time, I felt like a rapist, a molester. You know what? I was a little kid playing doctor. You know what I'm saying? And as long as I don't practice that behavior, you know, that's okay. You know, and I got to share stuff like that with them. I got to unload a lot of things. You know, my sponsor tells me an inventory is a one-time thing. It's a one-time thing. You might as well get rid of everything today. See, I have a loving, forgiving God today. And he forgives me as long as I don't practice that behavior. And if I continue to practice that behavior, he helps me change through pain. Pain's a motivator in this program. Okay, we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. You know, a lot of people, we are entirely ready to have God remove all these character defects. I tell my sponsees, write down 50 character defects, and they say, okay. And then they say, what's a character defect? And I say, remember the numbers you got the first month that I was trying to sponsor, you were trying to get me to sponsor you? And they say, yes. I said, well, call them up and ask them. Because I believe my sponsees need a network of help. I don't believe in my sponsees depending on me. If I allowed my sponsees to depend on me to stay clean, then I'm sicker than they are. You know what I'm saying? So I make them call other people. I said, go look in the mirror, bro. Walk in the bathroom, look in the mirror, and just start writing. You know, anger, controlling, not being able to communicate. All these are character defects. I make them write 50. When they come over the next week, we sit down and we write 50 positive things on how to change them character defects. You know what I'm saying? If I'm stealing, you know, I'm a thief, then I have to replace that with being a giving person. You know, if I'm angry or I lose control, I have to replace that with some serenity. You know, so every character defect that they write down, I give them a positive thing to replace it with. You know what I'm saying? And then it says, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And everybody says, what's the difference between a shortcoming and a character defect? I think a character defect is me getting angry. And the shortcoming is me acting out the character defect. So if I ask God to remove that shortcoming, meaning me acting out the character defect, then I don't get angry. Understand it? One of the shortcomings for me was a study habit. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of weird shit. I got a lot of character defects. And you know what? I practice every one of them today at some point in my life. And I have to catch myself. And I have to change through pain because pain's a motivator. There was a guy that said, if I had asked God to remove all my character defects and shortcomings, this minute, I would have disappeared. You know what I'm saying? I would have been gone because that's all I had. That's who I was. One of my shortcomings, I talked about picking up the prostitutes. I got clean. At 5 months clean, I'm in a motel room with the prostitute. She's in the bathroom shooting heroin. I move out of my area at a year clean because I figure I'm living in a bad area. The area I moved to in Victorville, I start picking up prostitutes again. I picked up prostitutes until I had 18 months clean. And it was hard stopping. I mean, I had to get ripped off. I had to get rolled. I had to get caught by my sponsee. All kinds of shit. 18 months clean, I stopped. 4 years clean, I took a cake, talked long shit all week at different meetings, spiritual Tony. I had a sponsee carry my head into the meeting because it was so big. And at 4 years clean, I went out and I picked up another prostitute. I ended up in an alley boxing with her pimp. I could have been stabbed. I could have been... Oh, and I won. Of course. And I ended up, you know, out there, there was two chicks and a guy. They could have kicked the shit out of me. They could have took my car. I could have been arrested. I could have been killed. Next day, I was in a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous sharing about that. I got 6 years, almost 9 months, 5 more days. I haven't picked up a prostitute since I had 4 years clean. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, asking God to remove my character defect. It's taken 4 years for one little defect. Well, it wasn't a little one. It was a big one to me. Easiest step, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends. That's cool. Mom and dad, brother and sister, that one girlfriend, the guy ripped off at work, the employer that I never showed up but took all the money. That's the easiest step there is. You know, it says, became willing to make amends. If you wrote, you know, this guy's still an asshole, but I'm going to put his name down. I was willing to make the amends because I put his name down. That's the easiest step there is. You make the list. And then we go to We may direct the mess to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. You know, if you're my sponsor, this is how we do it. I don't care how you did it. You know, it's taken me years to make some amends. You know, and like my sponsors, we do that, and I say, they say, well, you know, I told my sponsor, I said, well, the ones I hurt the most were my mother and father. How do I make amends? He says, Tony, what do you think your mom and dad wanted for you all your life? I said, they probably just wanted me to be okay, to have a good job, to be happy, to have my own place, and make a living for myself. And he looked me dead in the eye and he said, if you stay clean, that will happen. He said, and all you got to do is stay clean. See, I don't make my sponsors come around and say they're sorry. You know, I found if you're sorry, you're just a sorry so-and-so. I'm not real nice with them. You know, you ever have somebody that's always around and about three times a day they're telling you they're sorry? That's it, Holmes. Get the hell out of here. You ain't sorry, you keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? I heard a speaker say he had to make an amends. He had sold his landlord's lawnmower, and he didn't ask the sponsor, and he went and bought his landlord a lawnmower, and a year later he went out and he stole the lawnmower again. You know what I'm saying? You know, he makes direct amends. I tell my sponsors, you know, they say, I need to make amends to my brother because I ripped him off. I say, wait till you have a year clean. And they say, okay, and they come out a year clean and they say, Tony, I still got my list and I still need to make the amends to my brother. And I say, he's still sick, but you didn't help him. Wait till you got 2 years clean. You know, 2 years clean, they pull out the list. They say, my brother's still on the list. I said, have you talked to your brother lately? He said, yeah, we went to the show the other day. I said, have you been talking with him? Is he still mad? No, he's not really mad, but I feel like I need to make amends. I said, brother, you made the amends. You're a brother to your brother again. The amends is over. And that step, it says clean time speaks for itself. And that's why I just keep telling him, wait. You know, I was talking about a mental institution. I was talking about being tied down in a bed. I hyperventilated. Okay, I was at this mall. I freaked out. The ambulance came. I laid down in the ambulance. They had these big windows in the back that wouldn't open, and I couldn't breathe, so I jumped out of there. Two cops threw me in a squad car. I'm laying on my side trying to kick out the back window. They don't know what the hell to do, so they rolled down the front window so I could breathe. They took me to Norwalk Metropolitan. I'm screaming my ass off. They dragged me in the back. They tied me to the bed. In the meantime, the girl that I was with called my mother and said he's in the crazy house. They wouldn't let my mother in to see me. But she told me a while later that when she was walking back to her car in the parking lot, that she could hear me screaming. You know, that's the kind of shit that I did to my mother. You know, and I had to make amends for that kind of stuff. 1 year clean, I started going to school. 2 years clean, I was still going to school. May of this year, it's a junior college. I got an AS in general business. You know, I dressed up in a gown. I dressed up in a gown, and I walked on the stage, and guess who was in the stands? The same lady who heard me screaming that I couldn't breathe. You know, that was my amends. It took 6 years. I ain't never told anybody I'm sorry. Amends is about changing. You know, I'm about out of time. I want to share a little bit of the good things that happened to me in my life. When I got clean, I had 1 year, and I moved to a different area, and I started taking care of some of my financial amends. I had 4 months in that recovery house, and I was getting my disability check. How many people, I'm going to give it up. I was getting my disability check. 4 months, they said, Tony, we haven't got your checks. What's going on with that? And I think I'm running an honest program. I said, I've been sending them home. And she talked to the head guy. I owed him $2,200. I called Art. I said, Art, they said I owe him $2,200. And I'm trying to tell him, you know, nobody paid you. I've been a good guy here, you know. Art said that I wasn't responsible for my addiction, but I was responsible for my recovery, and he thought that I should pay them $2,200. You know what? By the time I had 2 years clean, they were paid $2,200. I walked into a store one day. I had a checking account. I owed them $425 for bad checks. They let me walk out of the market. I went to work and I called Art. He said, what are your goals? I said, you know, I want to be financially stable, financially secure, and one day I want to buy a house. He said, I suggest you pay the money. Two guys pushed my arm while I signed a check for $425, and I dropped it off that afternoon. 3 years clean, I saved $4,000. Because I remember when I was a kid, my father said, always save your money, because your friends ain't going to be around all the time, and when you want something, you can buy it yourself. I had $4,000 3 years clean, and one day I went looking for a house. This guy had this house for $89,000. He wanted $10,000 down. I walk in there all cool. I said, I'll give you $7,085. You know, and he has to think about it for a few days. And then I go home and I call my father. This is the same man who told me I had to leave because I was killing my mother. This is the same man who always gave me $5 no matter what. And he would look at me and he'd say, son, what's the matter with you? We raised you right. We tried to do everything we could. And look what you're doing with your life. And I would say, I don't know, Dad. I'm sick. I don't know what's the matter. And I'd start crying. And as I'm crying, I'd look up and say, could I have $5 in here? 3 years clean, me and my father already had a relationship. I called him up. I said, Dad, how you doing? He said, good. I said, Dad, I went to Victorville and I'd seen a house. He says, yeah. I go, it's nice, Dad. He says, yeah. I go, it's a half acre, three bedroom. I go, God, you could view a view of the city. It got this thing. If you push it, the garage door goes up. I go, it's nice, Dad. And he says, yeah. I said, I need $3,000. He says, do you like it, mijo? I said, Dad, it's nice. Why don't you and Mom come and see it? He says, do you like it, mijo? I said, yeah, Dad, it's nice. He said, give me your bank account number and I'll send you the money. I've had my house for 4 years. You know what I'm saying? That's Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I've been in service in H&I since the day I've been clean down there. You know, this week alone or this month alone, I've been to two state facilities. You know, my free time, I went to 7 meetings a week. I still call my sponsor. I still have the same sponsor. I'm involved in service. You know, I drove... I was going to say this is the farthest I've ever came to speak, but you know what? In 1993, through the grace of God and the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I had the opportunity to go to the World Convention in Chicago. And somebody asked me to speak at Indiana for a Labor Day picnic. So from Chicago, I went to Indiana, spoke there, and then I came home. You know, I've been allowed to go to Mexico City, Chihuahua, the Grand Canyon twice. You know what I'm saying? And there's one thing that always sticks in my head every time. I do prison commitment that it's 225 miles round trip. And like on the way over there, I'm saying, God, this is a long way. I got to give up this commitment. I should have told home I was sick. Maybe if I call, they're having a lockdown and I don't have to go. And all the way over there, you know, I'm driving and I'm pitching. And then I get there and there's 15 guys and we share the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And when I leave, every one of them shakes my hand and thanks me for showing up. And on the way home, I'm thinking, man, that was a fishing meeting. And I start making plans the way I'm going to run it next time I drive out there. Somebody told me in Narcotics Anonymous, they said that, Tony, you can't outgive God. And I said, what do you mean? He says, the more you give of yourself, the more God will give you. You know, so I sponsor, I go to panels. You know, I had this old 67 pickup driving to panels and shit. I said, what's up, God? Come on, you know. I'm going to keep making this shit, you know. He got me, I got an 85 5.0, God picked it up with 60,000 miles, original miles. You know what I'm saying? You know, I have my house. I got 4 cats, a dog. 9mm, 30-06 with the scope. You know what I'm saying? All my dreams in life are being fulfilled through the program of Narcotics Anonymous just because I go to meetings, I have a sponsor, I work steps, and I'm in service. Thank you very much. I love you.